we're going vary from our, I've been doing a study in 1 Thessalonians, but we're going to vary from that today. I'm going to do a little word study on the word wisdom this morning, if it's okay with everybody. We're going to go to several different places, but we're going to do it that way, and this is going to kind of be an introduction, I think, into what I do next. So if you bow with me, we'll open with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, as we come today, Lord, we thank you so much for the opportunity to sit and talk with the saints that have come this way together that we might lift up and edify each other in your precious word. The Lord, we ask again that you would lead, guide, and direct our lives and our minds and our voices in this hour, that we follow the leaning of the Holy Spirit, the leading, and that we only say that would be pleasing to thee. Thank you for the privilege and thank you for the honor. Lead, guide, and direct now in this time that we have to be with each other. Thank you again for all that you do. In Christ's name we ask. And thank you. Amen. Okay. As I said, we're going to take up the word wisdom, and today is the 23rd day of June. And this is going to be, actually going to be study one in the word wisdom that I've decided to take a look at next. And we're not finished with 1 Thessalonians, but looking at that and looking at some of the things that I picked up through Jan's little book of Oscar's that she gave me back during the conference time, got to thinking a little bit. And I guess that's a good thing, because we all need to put our mind in gear and keep it that way. But to realize and to understand wisdom, and that's something that God gives us as a gift. And along with that gift, it's a kind of a twofold thing, in my view, and part of that gift is the grace of God. And the third part of that is the Word of God, because He gives us wisdom to open His Word and to understand it. And a lot of people say they read the Bible, but they can't understand it. So evidently, that is a gift that He's given to us, that we sometimes thank Him for and accept, and sometimes that we don't. But we're going to kind of take a little tour through this, and that's going to be a prelude to what I want to do in two or three studies, or maybe more after this, in the word wisdom, and when I finish up with Thessalonians. Now, wisdom, if you look in the scripture, wisdom is listed there 231 times in scripture. And out of those 231 times, it's listed 53 times in the New Testament. And so we find God's wisdom shown to us in many of the books, from Exodus all the way through Revelations. And when you break it down a little bit, the Paul's seven epistles, his first seven, he uses wisdom 20 times, or it's in the Acts part of that, and then Paul's last 7 epistles, it's used a total of 9 times in Paul's writings. And believe it or not, it's listed 3 times in the book of Ephesians. And that's the number of the Godhead, number 3. Okay, and in Colossians, it's used 6 times, and that's the number of man. And so the total in Ephesians and Colossians in the last 7 epistles, it's 9 times, and it all has to deal with the mystery of God. The mystery that Paul had given to Paul was those 9 times. And whenever you look at this, then you kind of scratch your head a little bit and say, well, what's the significance of all this? Well, if you look in the book, in the Hebrew section of the Strong Concordance, you will get 3 or 4 or 5 usages of the word wisdom. In the Hebrews, it's in 24:49, it is the prime root of the word, and it means to be wise. It means to be wise in mind, in word, or in act, or in exceedingly or in part to teach wisdom. It is to make, show, or to deal wisely. In the Hebrew, the other part of that word is 24:50. And it is wise. It's the next word down in the Strong's. And it means intelligence. It talks about being skillful, cunning, or subtle. It also talks about being wise-hearted as man. Also the fact that Satan has been given these things. So if you go back and read there where it describes Satan in Isaiah, I believe it is, you will find that Satan was wise, he was skillful, he was cunning, and he was subtle. And when he met Eve in the Garden of Eden, he used these things against her in order to get her to fall and to cause Adam to fall under his wiles there. And so therefore, we see and understand by what was written in Acts 2 when God talks about the seed of Satan and the seed of man, or the seed of God that he put enmity between. And so God's wisdom gives us the opportunity to get on the same level of Satan and imparting our wisdom and teaching to the fact that God has now shown to us this mystery truth and has given us wisdom to impart it to others, but we don't know who they are. But yet, we have the same tools that we can use also, because God don't ever send you out to do his work without making it at least on an equal footing with the adversary. And so that's another thing that I was looking at and said, well, wait a minute. You know, this is the reason the word wisdom is used all these times in Scripture. And then there's another one. We talked about 2449 in the Hebrew language, 2450, now 2451. And 2451 is wisdom in a godly sense. And that is to be skillful, to use wisely, and to use it with wit or true knowledge. And because wisdom can also come in a worldly sense as well as a spiritual sense. So we need to remember that, because we can have worldly wisdom. We can have, you know, we've seen people that, even children, that we talk about them being whiz kids or wise beyond their time or given wisdom in some fashion for some reason, and it may not be to do God's will. But later on in their life, it could be used to impart the mystery truth to others. So it can change. But the Holy Spirit has to make that determination and that change. Because, you know, you've got to believe God in order to understand it. There's no way, if you don't come to a point in your life that you believe God and His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, you're never going to understand the truth of the Scriptures. It just can't happen. And then we go on. We go one more, or two more. In 2452, now we went through 2449, 2450, 2451, and 2452. And that's the understanding ability to use wisdom according to God's plan and purpose. When He called man, and this is due to a calling or a choosing, when God chooses someone, He arms them with the ability to do whatever it is that He wants done. And He don't leave you lacking in that. It may take you a while to get it straightened out to where you can help somebody else, but that's all the time. It's just not the case. And then we go to Hebrews 24:53, and this is the feminine part, and it's talking kindly to the woman here, because Eve was the first one that was deceived by Satan. So woman does have a part, but God has given woman the wisdom to fit in this role here on this earth, to be a provider to the young, a provider to her husband, and a provider to others that truly also need to understand the mystery, but in such a way that it's different from man and it's different from all other things. A mother and a mother's love just really can't be defined unless you're in tune with God's plan and purpose. And I'll just read this. It says, God's purpose for woman in family, in love, and in virginity. Those three things. Not necessarily in the same order, but those three things. It's what she has truly been suited for and what she is given without any extra knowledge. She comes equipped with that. That is worldly to begin with. And it can be spiritual as her life goes on down the road. Do we see the difference in that there? Okay. Having said all that, the word in the Greek now. So in the Greek, it's a little bit different. In the Greek, it's 4678, where the word wisdom is, and it is the word Sophia, like Sophia Loren. And so you'd say, well, that seems to be feminine too. Well, in a sense, it truly is. But there's a part of this that even gets further along than that. So I'm saying this because a lot of times people read the scripture but never really stop to think about what all these words and the portions of them say. You know, because it's like the word wisdom. Did I go over that yet? The wise and the dome. You know, dome, it can be a forward part of a word, or it can be a finish part of the word. A domicile, that's your home. That is your covering. That is your roof over your head. That is where you live. The dome of your head is right above your brain. And if you don't protect the brain, you don't have a lot of chance to make it very long. And that's an area of you that gives you your sense of where you are, what you do, and what you understand. And a kingdom is the same way. The DOM of a kingdom means it is the area of a king. And he has full control over all that. And so he is the judge and the jury of that area that he possesses and that he controls in that sense. Okay, Sophia, wisdom, is from the root word of 4080. But let's go back to 4678 for a minute. And it talks about wisdom being four things. It could be higher, that's God's wisdom. It can be lower, which is man's wisdom. It can be worldly, which is man's wisdom, or man and Satan's wisdom. And it can be spiritual, which is God's, and Satan can't change that. He can try, and he can give us problems, but he can't change it. And then the quantity form or of the base is the next one. And let's see, it's 4080. And it's a quantitative form, and the Greek word there is palikos. And it deals with to what? Or how much, and it always deals with things in its scope. And it's hence a higher wisdom from God, and it can be a lower wisdom from man, also a worldly wisdom from the fallen state, or their spiritual wisdom from our Maker and Creator, and also it comes to us in the form of the Holy Spirit. Now, in the New Testament, it comes in the form of the Holy Spirit, and it is our GPS. It is God's perfect Son within us that gives us our direction, our movement, our wisdom, our thoughts, our understanding, our hope of resurrection, and all these things pertaining to the mystery of Christ. And so what we're looking at here goes all the way basically from the front of the Bible to the back of the Bible. And it covers all that. Now, there's another part of this. The feminine part of this in the Greek is 4225. I kind of laugh when I look at this. And it's the word poo, P-O-O. And it means an uncertain amount, which we use the English word quite often, and it's used in the scripture too, and the translation as somewhat. It is also used, we use the word nearly, or about. We talk something in terms of about. Well, that's really not wisdom. That's a little bit of poo there. You know, so that's the reason it's mentioned this way. Or we know in part, because God hasn't given all things to all people. And Paul even says, now I know in part. But later on I'm going to know it all. I'm going to know in its entirety. Yeah, I'm going to know pleroma. I'm going to know fullness. I'm going to know perfectness, to be complete, to be full in that sense. So, but otherwise, what we use is kind of a little bit of a poop, to make a long story short. And so, we pretty well, covered this somewhat to some extent. I want to go back, and I may have mismarked my, Well, I want you to turn back with me, if you will, and we'll start here. We'll start in, Exodus 35:30. Exodus 35:30. I've got written 34:30, but it didn't work out in my notes. My notes is not God-given. It's season-given to you. Okay. Exodus 35. I want to go 35:30. I want to read to 36, verse 2. And we're going to talk about God here is talking to Moses here in terms of building the tabernacle. Now, no man has ever been to heaven. And so, God making this pattern here of the holy is having to confront men with wisdom that they can make something that is the exact duplicate of the heavenly thing. And so this is all part of the wisdom of God. He has the ability to do it because he is there with him. And so he's telling Moses this. Let's read. Exodus 30 of chapter 35. And Moses said unto the children of Israel, see, the Lord hath called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah, and he hath filled him with the Spirit of God. Okay? God now has filled him with that Spirit in wisdom, in understanding, in knowledge, and in all manners of workmanship. So he has made him complete in the fact that what God tells him to do, he can do it without really thinking about it. And that's the way it is. If you go to talk to somebody about the mystery of Christ, you better be able to do it without really thinking about it. And if you do, you come out more times better than you would if you down and tried to do it on your own. Okay, verse 32, and to devise curious works, to work in gold and silver and in brass, and in the cutting of stones to set them, and the carving of wood to make any manner of cunning work, and he hath put it in his heart, that he may teach both he and Aholah, the son of Ahisamach of the tribe of Dan. Them hath he filled with the wisdom of heart to work all manners of work in the engraver and of the cunning workman and of the embroiderer in blue and in purple and in scarlet and in fine linen and of the weaver, even of them that do that any work and of those that devise cunning work. So he's already got it set up. He's already got it in place. These people that are going to do these things, and it's just going to fall to them like they've always been able to know this in order to do it. That's the wisdom of God in a nutshell. Then wrought Bezalel and Aholiab and every wise-hearted man in whom the Lord had put wisdom and understanding to know how to work all manners of work for the service of the sanctuary according to all that the Lord had commanded. And Moses called Bezalel and Aholiab and every wise-hearted man in whose heart the Lord had put wisdom, even everyone whose heart is stirred him up to come to the work and to the work to do it. Not only they, but others that were coming into the work, it was like that this wisdom could be transferred to others also. And that's unmerited favor. That's grace that God gives people. This unmerited favor, they may have not have been chosen, but God has given them what my friend used to call Jewish percentage. And now I finally understand what he was talking about. Although he wasn't a very religious man, but I got a lot of stuff from him that carried on with me and my family, with my boys. And not so much my girls, because they got theirs from their mother because of what she had. And so we're going to go from and these things that we've just talked about here, the understanding, knowledge, wisdom, workmanship, are worldly things, but God was going to use them for his purpose. And he was going to use them for the people of faith, the people that believed God and what he said to Jacob when Jacob became the father of the 12 tribes. And they had the blood of, the promised blood running through their bones from Abraham. And this is God's gift to mankind for his plan and purpose. This was the early part of it, not the later part, because as he goes on, he imparts other gifts and other things. And so I want you to go, I got a few more minutes. I want you to go 1 Kings 4, if I made the right notations. 1 Kings 4. Let me see if we can get over there. Let's see. It's on page, supposed to be on page 454. First Kings 4, and we're going to read 29 through 34. And this was God using a man to build his sanctuary. Not the moving one that we read about a little bit ago that was carried around from place to place and was by the people because they were not stationary. But here, Solomon has been chosen to build the temple. And Solomon says beforehand here that his father wasn't able to build it because David had shed blood. And so, but Solomon had evidently not And so this is what we're going to get involved here with, the wisdom of Solomon. And we're going to read, 29 through 34. And it says this, "And God gave Solomon wisdom and understanding exceedingly much, and largeness of heart, even as the sand that is on the seashore." Because, you see, not only to Abraham was this promise made, but it was made to all of Abraham's seed. And so wisdom has been given by God through the blood of Abraham. And it was to spread through the children of Israel like wildfire, which it did not always do, because they had been under the subtlety and cunningness and all this of Satan and Satan's work. Okay? "And Solomon's wisdom excelled the wisdom of all the children of the East country and all the wisdom of Egypt. For he was wiser than all men." I want to say that again. "For he was wiser than all men." He had been given of God this wisdom and this unmerited favor because of who he was and because of God chose him. "Than Ethan, the Ezraite, and Heman, the Chalcol, and Darda, the son of Mahol, and his fame was in all nations around about." You can look at this verse of scripture, and when he's talking about these people, there is a full stop. And it says, "And he spoke talking about Solomon. Solomon spoke 3,000 proverbs, and his songs were 1,005. And he says, "And he spake of trees, from the cedar trees that is in Lebanon, even unto the hyssop that springeth out of the wall." Full stop. Why do we need to stop there? He talks about cedar trees and hyssop. You know, the hyssop was what they put the vinegar on and held up to Christ, and he wouldn't drink of that. But a hyssop is a kind of a weed, and it always has an inflection of someone or something losing its life, its breath. And that's what hyssop is. It is a weed that signifies to those people that if it's used that way on you, you're about to be gone from here. And the big deal was when they put it up to the mouth of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross, when he was taking all of our sins, because he was about to lose not only his blood, but he was about to lose his breath. He was going to be no more. That, according to Satan's understanding, because Satan has never fully ever understood resurrection, I don't think. Because he thought if he could ever get Christ, well, he'd have him done. That would be the end. And he would win. And there would be no enmity there other than him and his minions against God, that he could get rid of one third of the Godhead. And he couldn't do it. "He spake also of beasts and of fowl and of creeping things and of fishes. And there came all the people to hear the wisdom of Solomon." Listen to this. from all the kings of the earth which had heard of his wisdom. Do you know when that's going to happen again? That's going to happen again when God comes back and his foot hits the Mount of Olives, and there's going to be a big earthquake there, and the land is going to be leveled out. He's going to put the throne of David where his blood was spilled on Golgotha. And he is going to sit and rule and reign, and the people of the earth are going to come there whether they like it or whether they don't. Because now his kingdom is going to spread to all the earth. The dome of God's area is going to be everybody on the earth when he comes back. And he's going to reign and rule with a rod of iron, and he's going to do to these people what they did to his people from the beginning of time. And he's going to set everything back straight. They're going to have him for 1,000 years. But in 1 Thessalonians 3, he says when Christ comes back, he's going to come back with his saints. Well, in 1 Thessalonians 3, the mystery hadn't been known, but it was known that he was going to come back with his saints, not his brethren, because they didn't know also at that time that they were going to be unplugged by God in Acts 28:28. So they didn't know these things in the future that was to come that God was going to reveal to the Apostle Paul. And so if you go back to the Strong's and you look up the word wisdom, it gives you the answer that I basically give to all of you at the beginning of this study. There is one time that it's not anything there as far as where you can go and look it up. And that's 1 Corinthians 2. And it's somewhere between 7, 8, and 9. And it talks about a mystery there that they don't know anything about. Because when God tells man to write something down, man doesn't have to have the wisdom to be able to explain it at that point in time. Unless God chooses. And so that, I think that's the reason that you can't find that, because God gives us little clips of understanding all down through the Word. He revealed Christ to us all through Scripture. And sometimes we see it and sometimes we don't. And so that's just the way it is. And I really don't have the time to go to the next one, but that I've got listed here, which was Job 12:12-13:13. But I do have one, let's see, that we can finish out the study with today. Go with me to Proverbs 1. If you got a companion Bible, it's page 865 in the companion Bible. 865. Proverbs 1. You know, we read about Solomon and his wisdom a while ago. The songs that he wrote, the wisdom that he got, and the Proverbs here. And wisdom is mentioned in Proverbs 54 times alone. And we're going to read Proverbs 1:1-7. And so we're going to read about Solomon's gift from God, what to do with it. And when you look at this, it is a revelation. It means to unveil, to uncover the Word of God, or to draw back the curtain of the Word of God. This is how God works. And he chose Solomon to do this because Solomon at that point had a worldly congregation coming to Jerusalem to worship. And so not only did Solomon build the building, but he had control over the building until Satan took it over. And what a contaminated it by idolatry. It says in Proverbs 1:1, the Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding. Well, a lot of people read and get part of it, but they don't perceive the ultimate goal. And God's ultimate goal, many people don't understand. God's ultimate goal is to bring all things back under his rule and for his plan and for his purpose through his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. To perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instructions of wisdom, justice and judgment and equity. You know, this is a kind of a law thing. You know, the people were subjected to the laws of God and all this, and people even today still can't get away from the laws of God. They put the sign up in their yard and says, you know, we abide by the laws of God. Well, are they still prevalent for them? Well, I don't know. That's someone else's judgment, not mine. To receive the instructions of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity, full stop. To give subtlety to the simple. To the young man, knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and will increase in learning. And a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. He will search out and look for those that have knowledge beyond them that may impart it through teaching and understanding. This was what I got when Lori's dad came to Wolf State. I had never, ever, and I had been in church off and on all of my life. I grew up with a grandmother that was, I consider to be a saint of God, because I think she was called out to show me what I know today, and to choose somebody for my helpmate that didn't know it, but learned it. And that's another thing that we've not really stopped to think about. How many here, how many are listening to my voice right now, have mates that at one time maybe one of them or both of them didn't know the mystery of Christ? But you see, that was a God-given piece of grace that we didn't understand till we got it. And until they got it too. Because it's hard for one person to live with this knowledge and the other person to keep kicking at the pricks like Paul was kicking at the work of God when he struck him down on the Damascus Road. That's free. I'm not charging you anything for that. But that's the way it was. And my wife kicked at the pricks also, because she had been in a Baptist church all her life. But when I heard it and I understand that wisdom was there, I had to have it. There was something in me and had always been that way. But I knew there was something lacking somewhere. There was something that I had not heard or was able to comprehend that my grandmother couldn't even show me in that sense. We'll hear and we'll increase in learning. Verse 5. And a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsel. Oh, my gracious. To understand a proverb and the interpretation. Well, it's one thing to hear a proverb, but why is it there? Oh, man, this is things that God gives us. It just blows sometimes right over our head. It's like the wind blowing in the yard. When it blows up your hair, you straighten it back out and go on again. The words of the wise and their dark sayings. But verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. I wanted to read Job in chapter 12 and 13. But it's a lengthy thing, and I just ain't got the time to do it this morning in the time, and I'm running over my time already. But that was Job's understanding of what he was to do to Zophar, this one of his three friends that talked to him, and they each one talked to him three times, which made a total of nine. And the total of nine is judgment. And so Job was judging his friends here and what they had to say, and he changed Zophar's mind. Because Zophar came to the realization that he was on the wrong side of God. Even though Job was going to have problems, Zophar came to the realization later on that, yay, God can give it back, you know. And so that's where resurrection comes in, too. But not only this, but the beginning of knowledge, and this is what Job said, too. Fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. If he's the judge and jury, and if he's the righteous judge, and we can't hide from him, we can't go nowhere that he can't see us, and all this, we ain't got no defense. And I've helped trial a little bit off and on 7 years when I was magistrate. And if somebody accuses you of something, you better have some sort of defense. But when you get before a righteous judge, there ain't no defense. The only defense you got is his blood that he took when he was on the cross of your sins, prior, present, and future. And I'll just leave you with that understanding, because in resurrection, and that all has to take place through the auspices of resurrection. Man doesn't live in some other state, but he's there now. If you are a member of the body of Christ, you are reckoned by God to be in that presence there today. Now, although we're still here on the earth doing the work of God, by his wisdom and by his understanding and by the knowledge that we have of him and what he has done for us, And I'm going to say, thank you, Lord. Take care of us till we meet again. Amen. Thank you for being with us.